As I read the Old Testament lesson for today, I wondered in that moment of asking a request from God, what would I ask for? Like Solomon in that moment in the night and his dream quest, if I had one wish that I wanted to ask God, what would I ask God for? If you had one wish, what would you ask for? What would you ask of God in the night in your dream quest? Now, the NRSV translation of Scripture, which is what we use in our Revised Common Lectionary, and we usually use it on Sunday in the bulletin, shows us that in our reading from 1 Kings, Solomon was on a dream quest that night when he asked for a wise and discerning mind. Now, some of you are probably wondering, well, what is a dream quest? What does this mean that Solomon is asking God in the nighttime? How many times have you gone to sleep at night with something weighing on you so heavily that before you fall asleep, you ask God to come to you in your dreams and give you some sense of direction or some purpose or some response or some guidance that you just can't figure out in the busyness of your lives? How many of us have gone to bed at night praying for such guidance in the night? Many of us pray for such guidance. That, my friends, is a dream quest. The second thing I want to talk about in this reading from 1 Kings is what makes a wise and discerning mind. Now, some of us may think that a wise and discerning mind is someone, as my mom says, who is whip smart, who has a quick mind, who is an intellectual, smarter than the next guy. So is having a wise and discerning mind being an intellectual? Maybe not. I think we all have met people who are brilliant, and yet in some common sense, ordinary decisions during the day, it seems as if that intelligence doesn't necessarily translate into common sense or wisdom. So if it's not that, then perhaps having a wise and discerning mind is getting what you want out of light, out of life, getting what you ask for. Well, maybe it's not always having your heart's desire met either. How many of us have had our heart's desire met in that particular want or need, only to realize that it wasn't the be-all, end-all we'd hoped for? The wisdom that Solomon sought that night was about keeping his soul aligned with God's purpose for him. Solomon knew that exercising biblical wisdom in the midst of the people meant staying on God's highway. And he also knew that he needed periodic realignment to achieve God's purposes for him and for his people. Well, the same is true for us, isn't it? Because, and I am first to admit it, aren't we always veering off the road of faith and ending up in a ditch somewhere, wondering how we get back to God's highway? Aren't we doing that in our lives of faith? Well, recently, during the July 4th holiday, I drove up to Birchville State Park with a family reunion. And as I was getting out of the car, I'll admit it, I never rarely look at my car's maintenance. I have a little sticker that tells me when I have the oil changed, and I have wonderful people in my life who ask me if I've done this or taken a look at that. And as I walked by my car, I noticed that one of the four tires is badly wearing faster than the other three. Wearing so much faster than those other three tires, and so I thought, well, I need a new tire. So in talking with my brothers, who are all car guys, I said, you know, it's really weird. I walked by my car on the way to the gazebo here, and only one of my tires is wearing out. And one of my brothers said, is it on the front end, the tire that's wearing out? And I said, well, yes, it is on the front end. And I said, I think I should buy a new tire. And he said, well, before you buy a new tire, you need to have a front end alignment. I'd never heard of such a thing as the front end alignment. And I said, well, can't I just buy a new tire and stick the new tire on there? And they said, no, if you don't get your front end aligned, it's going to continue to wear unevenly. And when you're driving down the road, your car will have a tendency to veer off one way or the other. Which got me thinking, how many of you, when you take your hands off the steering wheel of your car, not that we do this regularly, notice that the car veers off either one side or the other? How many of us have noticed the car doesn't stay true on that path? Well, that, my friends, means that your car needs a front-end alignment. Being out of alignment can take us off the road and into a ditch. This is a given. It is a new fact that I have recently learned. And thinking about King Solomon falling asleep that night on his dream quest while on God's highway reminded me of a friend of mine. A few years ago, decided he and his older brother were going to take a driving trip from Michigan to California in an old beat-up VW Bug. Now, they wanted to get to California as quickly as they could, and so they decided that they would spell each other in driving. They wouldn't stop at a hotel or a motel, that they would, one person would drive, and when that person became too tired, while the other had been sleeping, they would switch drivers. And they did this regularly all the way from Michigan to the deserts of Arizona. When they got to the deserts of Arizona, my friend who had been driving and his older brother who had been sleeping for a long time, he tells me, they switched drivers, and so my friend went to fall asleep in the front seat of the car while his older brother was driving. And not 2 minutes into his sleeping, the car started jostling, cactus were zipping by, dust was flying, and they'd gone right off the road into a ditch. His older brother had fallen asleep not 2 minutes into his turn at the wheel. His hands had fallen off the wheel. Obviously, the VW Bug needed a front-end alignment, I think. And they went off into a ditch. That's the same type of thing that Solomon is talking about in his dream quest with God. Every once in a while, God needs to come into our lives and make those tiny little corrections that we need on the steering wheel to keep us on God's highway. Every once in a while, we need to be open to having someone else's take the hands on the wheel and get us on this path of God. Well, all I can say is these many years later, thank heavens they were brothers because they're still speaking to one another after going off in the ditch. Wisdom, we learn, doesn't necessarily mean you're the smartest guy in the room. Wisdom doesn't necessarily mean you get everything that you want out of life. Wisdom also doesn't mean that you have a super inflated ego. Now, King Solomon, the son of King David, definitely had a healthy ego. He was the builder of the Temple of Jerusalem, and he was husband to over 700 wives. Think about that for a minute. And 300 concubines. So King Solomon obviously had a healthy sense of self. And yet, in the bulletin that we have this morning in our reading from this book of 1 Kings, we hear that he is a humble man. He has since come to realize that this great and magnificent people that he is ruling, he can't do it on his own. Being the son of King David and having this healthy sense of self is not enough. And so in humility, in his dream quest at night, is what he says to God. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go in or to come out. He is telling God in this night conversation, I can't do this on my own. I don't know how to stay true to the path that you have set for me and for us. I need your hands on the wheel to help me see this through, to see my people to the other side. The evidence for God's presence happens whenever we go on a long trip of openness and honesty with God. God's presence happens whenever we are able to do that. True wisdom happens whenever we are able to serve another first, as King Solomon is talking about in his prayer with God. Thomas Blair, in Feasting on the Word, one of my favorite commentaries on Scripture, says, it all goes back to our alignment with God. That is, how our souls are aligned with what God wants and intends for us. We become realigned to what God wants and intends for us, not by doing all the talking or letting our ego get the best of us, but by desiring the simplicity of a listening heart. Now, it is true that the most common understanding of this particular passage in 1 Kings translates the Hebrew into an understanding mind or wisdom. But I want to take a little closer look at the Hebrew translation of this particular phrase because it's important for us to see this in the original Hebrew. The more accurate translation from the Hebrew is shomei tev, or a listening heart. So Solomon is asking God to have a listening heart, to have this sense that he can listen more closely to the people that he governs and to the voice of God that is present in his life. Now, immediately after this passage that we have in our reading this morning, I want to expand a little bit on the scripture so that we have a better sense of what it meant for King Solomon to have a listening heart. Now, shortly after this, in the very same chapter in 1 Kings, King Solomon is approached by two women. How many of you know the story of the two women that approached King Solomon that day? This story in 1 Kings about King Solomon is about two women. Within days of each other, they give birth. One woman, they live in the same house. One woman, in the night, the baby is sleeping with her. She rolls over and smothers the child. In a moment of pure evil, she takes her dead child into the other woman's room and she switches the babies. She takes the living child back with her to her room. Well, shortly thereafter, the other mother wakes up and realizes what has been done in the night. And she raises a ruckus. And the first woman says, no, no, this is my baby. Your baby has died in the night. And they continue to fight over who is the rightful mother of this newborn baby boy. And eventually, finding no resolution, they go to King Solomon to resolve the problem of who is the rightful mother. So King Solomon, this is in the very same chapter as 1 Kings. This is shortly after he has been given a listening heart by Yahweh. This is what King Solomon says to the two women. The one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is dead. While the other says, not so, your son is dead, and my son is the living one. So the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. The king said, divide the living boy in two. Then give half to the one and half to the other. But the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because compassion for her son burned within her, please, my lord, give her the living boy. Certainly do not kill him. The other said, it shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide it. Then the king responded, give the first woman the living boy. Do not kill him. She is his mother. All Israel heard of the judgment that the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to execute justice. During King Solomon's dream quest that night, he sought neither knowledge nor acquisition, but rather a transformation of his inner landscape or soul so that it might be realigned with the will of God. Can you imagine just how thankful the mother of that little baby was for King Solomon's humble request of God that night? Can you imagine how thankful she was for his listening heart? So, my friends, what will you ask of God this night on your dream quest? Will you ask him to be smarter or to have your heart's desire achieved? Or will you, like King Solomon, ask for a listening heart to realign your will with God's? And may all God's people say, Amen.